With that, he took the bronze spear from the boy, and Telemachus, crossing the stone door sill, went inside the lodge. As he approached, his father Odysseus rose to yield his seat. The son on his part waved him back. Stay you are, stranger. I know we can find another seat somewhere here on our farm, and here's the matter to fit. So Odysseus, moving back, sat down once more. And now for the prince, the swineherd stood a bundle of fresh green brushwood, topped it off with sheepskin, and then the true son of Odysseus took his place. Eumaeus set before them platters of roast meat, left from the meal he'd had the day before. He promptly served them bread, heaped in baskets, mixed their hearty wine in a wooden bowl, and then sat down himself to face the king. They reached for the good things that lay at hand, and when they'd put aside desire for food and drink, Telemachus asked his loyal serving men at last, "Old friend, where does this stranger come from? Why did the sailors land him here in Ithaca? Who did we say they are? I hardly think he came this way on foot." "You answered him, Eumaeus, loyal swineherd. Here, my boy, I'll tell you the whole true story. He hails from Crete's broad land, he's proud to say, but he claims he's drifted round through countless towns of men roaming the earth. So a god spun out his fate. He just now broke away from some Thesprotian ship and came to my farm. I put him in your hands. You tend to him as you like. He counts on you, he says, for care and shelter." "Shelter, oh, Eumaeus," Telemachus replied. "That word of yours, it cuts me to the quick. How can I lend the stranger refuge in my house? I'm young, myself. I can hardly trust my hands to fight off any man who rises up against me. Then my mother's wavering, always torn two ways, whether to stay with me and care for the household, true to her husband's bed, the people's voice as well, or leave at long last with the best man in Achaea, who courts her in the halls, who offers her the most. But our new guest, since he's arrived at your house, I'll give him a shirt and cloak to wear, good clothing, give him a two-edged sword and sandals for his feet, and send him off, wherever his heart desires. Or if you'd rather, keep him here at the farmstead, tend to him here. And I'll send up the clothes and full rations to keep the man in food. He'll be no drain on you and all your men. But I can't let him go down and join the suitors. They're far too abusive, reckless, know no limits. They'll make a mockery of him. That would break my heart. It's hard for a man to win his way against a mob, even a man of iron. They are much too strong." "Friend," the long-enduring Odysseus stepped in. "Surely it's right for me to say a word at this point. My heart, by God, is torn to pieces hearing this, both of you telling how these reckless suitors there in your own house against your will plot your ruin, a fine young prince like you. Tell me, though, do you let yourself be so abused? Or do people round about, stirred up by the prompting of some god, despise you? Or are your brothers at fault? Brothers, a man can trust to fight beside him, true, no matter what deadly blood feud rages on. Would I were young as you to match my spirit now, or I were the son of great Odysseus, or the king himself, returning from all his roving? There's still room for hope. Then let some foreigner lop my head off if I fail to march right into Odysseus's royal halls and kill them all. And what if I went down, crushed by their numbers, I fighting alone? I'd rather die cut down in my own house than have to look on at their outrage day by day. Guests treated to blows, men dragging the serving women through the noble house, exploiting them all, no shame, and the gushing wine swilled, the food squandered, gorging for gorging's sake, and the courting game goes on, no end in sight." "You're right, my friend," sober Telemachus agreed. "Now let me tell you the whole story, first to last. It's not that all our people have turned against me, keen for a showdown. Nor have I any brothers at fault, brothers a man can trust to fight beside him true, no matter what deadly blood feud rages on. Zeus made our line a line of only sons. Arceisius had only one son, Laertes, and Laertes had only one son, Odysseus, and I'm Odysseus's only son. He fathered me, he left me behind at home, and from me he got no joy. So now our house is plagued by swarms of enemies, all the nobles who rule the islands round about, Dulichion and Sami, and wooded Zacynthus too, and all who lord it in rocky Ithaca as well, down to the last man. They court my mother, they lay waste my house, and mother, She neither rejects a marriage she despises, nor can she bear to bring the courting to an end while they continue to bleed my household white. Soon, you wait, they'll grind me down as well. But all lies in